Good morning, and thank you for joining me on the Path to Liberty. It is Monday morning, November 25th, 2019. Last week, Constitution supporters, privacy advocates, all alike, were outraged at yet another extension of the Patriot Act. But really, what they extended is just scratching the surface of the powers that would make Orwell's big brother blush. I mean, they look like a wimp. Like, these are massive surveillance powers that the government has at all levels. So today, I'm going to cover some of the Patriot Act sections that never expire, because only a small part of it actually was set to expire, plus some follow-up legislation that was passed in 2004 that gave us some of the worst surveillance powers that we're seeing crop up all over the place in local areas and airports and the like today. First of all, my name is Michael Bolden. We broadcast live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time from here in my home office and studio in downtown Los Angeles for the 10th Amendment Center. We have video versions that we do live through YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, DLive, and Twitch. We also have archived video versions at Brighteon.com, BitChute, and BitTubers.com. Hopefully we'll have a few more of those as live platforms soon as well. We also have an audio-only podcast edition, primarily at iTunes. I'm grateful for all the reviews that have been coming in on that. Thank you. If you are listening on audio, whatever platform, a review is very much appreciated. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, and elsewhere. You can find all of our archives, all the different ways to follow the show, all the different channels that we're on, plus our social media channels, our email newsletter, our membership program where you can support us for as little as $2 a month and help us spread the message of the Constitution and liberty. Find all of that information over at 10thamendmentcenter.com/path to liberty. Again, 10thamendmentcenter.com/path to liberty. I've got a lot to cover today, so I'm just going to do a quick hello to some people over in the live chat. Essential Freedom, Tyler B, Yellow Blue, Austrian Watchman, EHP Training, Bob Brewer, and everyone over on YouTube. John, Steven, and others over on Facebook. One False Step, good to see you over on DLive. We haven't really pushed the DLive channel much, but I think it's a really cool platform, and I'm grateful for you joining us there today. Thank you so much. But if I missed you, and I'm just kind of scrolling through here the chat app, I apologize, but I'm very grateful for you joining. And whether you're leaving comments here live or later on in the archives or a review, or you're smashing the like button or sharing the link, all of those actions, they trigger the platform that you're on. They're very easily triggered. These algorithms love it when you take actions, and then all of a sudden they're like, well, I guess we got to show this. Skynet decides they got to show it to more and more people, and I got to give a heads up to Essential Freedom for the Skynet word today, but it's a good one. I also want to give a couple of quick updates before getting into this. First of all, Thanksgiving week is incredibly busy here at TAC. I am signing letters and thank yous to people. We are ramping up for nullification season, which we're seeing legislation getting introduced in a number of states around the country already. Mike Meharry is in the process of a move this weekend from Kentucky down to Florida with his family and to be closer to his mother. And so it is almost certain this will be the only show for this week. It's possible if I do have some time open that I'll record a short one in advance or I'll do a live broadcast at random. But for now, I will probably not do another show this week, and I'll be back on Monday next week, December 2nd. It's the day after my birthday, so I think I'm going to do something like my top 10 favorite quotes or something like that that motivates my work here. So something like that. But I expect to not be back till next week, and I hope everyone has a very wonderful, happy, and safe Thanksgiving with friends, family, or whoever you're spending time with. And then I also want to point out that I had a couple of articles published just this morning. First of all, over at the Mises Institute, thank you so much to Ryan, Jeff, and everybody, Tho, and everybody over at Mises, who's always been so kind and courteous and supportive of my work, even where they disagree with me. They're always really good to me. And I just spoke at their annual supporter summit last month, which was here in Los Angeles, with Rockwell, Woods, Deist, and a few others. But this article is Second Amendment Sanctuaries, Rhetoric versus Reality. And if you've been following local news, you may, in many states, Texas, Florida, Virginia, Tennessee, Colorado, New Mexico, Illinois, Oregon, elsewhere, You may be hearing about so-called Second Amendment sanctuaries popping up. But the fact of the matter is, in almost every situation, and I've done an episode on this recently, almost every situation, they're really not creating a sanctuary for anything. So I pointed out in this particular article at Mises what's going on, like the legal reality in practice and on the ground. And hopefully it will help people understand what's going on, and it will kind of help people avoid the false sense of security from hearing that they're living in a sanctuary when they're really not. So that's a really interesting article. Please check it out. I also had a similar article published over at Florida Daily, specifically addressing Florida Second Amendment sanctuaries that are popping up. So far, four in Florida. We expect more to be soon, but none of them are sanctuaries. So I talk about Florida law, the Florida Constitution, and how it applies specifically in Florida. And then on Friday last week, I was on the Scott Horton Show. It's not published yet on his website, at least when I checked an hour or so ago. But we talked primarily about the Patriot Act renewal, which I did an episode on here last week, Wednesday. So keep an eye out on scotthorton.org. We ended up talking for like 45 minutes. I'm not sure how much Scott's going to find useful for that, but it was really, Scott's an awesome dude, and I think it was a really, really good show. So hopefully that will be live on his site in the next day or two. I tend to find all of Scott's episodes a little bit later when they end up uploading to YouTube, because that's where I'm consuming most of my content while I'm working throughout the day. So that's just a couple of quick updates. And then reminder, last week, Wednesday, I did this episode on the Patriot Act renewal, and I'm going to include all these links that I'm referencing. There's a lot of info here that I'm talking about in the show notes. We publish those 30 minutes to an hour after the live show is done over at 10thamendmentcenter.com/path to liberty. I just got to keep plugging that so you guys have it handy. So the episode that I did last week, Wednesday, if you missed it, Patriot Act renewal, a bipartisan attack on liberty since day one. And I was covering the fact that the Imperial House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., snuck a clean extension of the Patriot Act for 3 months, basically kicking the can down the road into one of these so-called must-pass spending bills. You know everyone's going to pass it. I mentioned in that show, okay, it passed the House. I expect it to easily fly through the Senate and get signed by the president. And the very next day, it passed like 73 to 20-something in the Senate and then was signed a few hours later by President Trump. Now, a couple of interesting things that came up while I was talking with Scott was that the sunset provisions for the Patriot Act that they extended for a few months so they can do something else down the line. And I think that they're going to extend it again, or they're going to have some kind of reform. And I put reform in quotes because anytime they do a reform on this, there's still more and more surveillance that goes on. And it ignores all the other stuff that I'm going to cover here in a few minutes as well. All the other surveillance powers that go beyond the Patriot Act, or what the Patriot Act set up the framework for with follow-up legislation just a few years later in 2004. But what I've noticed, and it didn't click when I did the show on Wednesday last week, was that it was set to expire on December 15th, 2019. Not the whole bill, but the sunset provisions. December 15th is Bill of Rights Day. So the worst attack on the Fourth Amendment in history, ongoing, is set to expire or sunset on Bill of Rights Day. Either someone has a really sick sense of humor, or this was just an interesting irony of it all. But now it's extended to March of this next year. And as I was saying, I do expect them to renew it again or have some kind of reform that makes people think that it's going to be better, like the so-called USA Freedom Act that was passed in 2015. If you want to hear more about that, there's all kinds of other people that do a much better job explaining the Freedom Act. But one example that I gave on the Scott Horton Show was that after the Freedom Act supposedly restricted the Patriot Act and was going to stop all the mass surveillance, the ACLU had done a Freedom of Information Act request. And in 2017, there were targets of 40 suspects, or there were 40 targets. And under the Freedom Act restrictions, that resulted in over 500 million phone records being collected. So that doesn't sound like much of a restriction to me at all. And again, it's important to note that what was set to sunset, and this is bad that they just automatically renewed it. And in fact, the so-called resistance in the Democratic House, so it was primarily partisan in the House side, but then basically you know, all the usual in the Senate, bipartisan. And this was a Republican bill right off the bat from a Republican Congress. There is no Team A versus Team B, one side being good or bad. But in this particular situation, it was primarily Democrats voting in favor of it in the House, the spending bill. And there were, I think it was 15 Democrats that sometime, prominent ones, that sometime in October, they signed this letter that specifically said that they would not vote in favor of any legislation, period. Any. I will not. They pledged to not vote in favor of any legislation that just clear cut extended the sunset on the Patriot Act section 215 or the sunset provisions of the Patriot Act. And almost all of them still voted yes. There are a handful that didn't. Basically, all the members of the so-called squad, AOC, Omar, Presley, et cetera, they all voted no, and they went against the party leadership. So I do have to give them, I mean, socialist as they can be, but on this one, they said they would not vote for it. They didn't care what it was if they did not address this Patriot Act issue, and they voted no. So kudos to them. And there were a bunch of Republicans in the House that voted against it, but I think it was more on the spending issues. We did not really hear much talk about Patriot Act at all. Very little opposition based on Patriot Act. And then in the Senate, flew through. It was signed by the president and on. But again, only some sections were set to expire, and I'm not going to cover this in much detail, but some of them included the Section 215, that's the Call Detail Records Program, CDR. That's where they're getting the details and the metadata of all persons' calls. There's also the Business Records Program in Section 215, where they can compel a third-party business, anybody who collects your data, all these tech giants who are getting your information, email, your browsing history, all that information can be compelled to be handed over by the federal government. And that really turns the tech companies, I think it's incredibly dangerous because it turns the tech companies, even if they were just collecting a lot of information for advertising purposes, now they've become agents of the government surveillance state. They are an arm of the government at that point. So some of the other things that were set to sunset that they extended was Section 206. That's the roving wiretap section. And you can get all details on this. I'll put a link in the show notes. For those of you who are watching, you can see it up on the video. It's Electronic Frontier Foundation. This is back from 2005. It's the same set of sections that were set to sunset originally in 2005 and then 2011 and then 2015. Now December 15, 2019, now 2020. And they just keep extending. They kick the can down the road and they have some reason to continue them. But EFF has a list of all the sections and an explanation of the issues of each section that were set to expire. And I encourage you to read through that to get a really good feel for it. But wait, there's more than just this. In fact, it's a lot more. And this link from here at the ACLU, they go through all the sunsetting sections, but they also have this area called permanent but problematic Patriot Act sections. These are all permanent. There isn't even a discussion. There is no discussion about whether to kick the can down the road. There's no partisan debate. It doesn't even get brought up, period. For example, Section 213 authorizes and expands sneak and peek delayed notice search warrant. I'm not reading the Fourth Amendment that allows them to have anything like that. Section 505, without reading through it, basically it's an expansion of something called national security letters. It authorizes the government to seize financial, internet, credit, and telephone records without prior judicial review and without articulable suspicion that the target is a terrorist or a spy. It really is an expansion of national security letters. So these providers, they get an NSL is what it's called, and then they're compelled to give over all the information of all their customers. And there was a company, I think they were based in Austin, Texas, called LavaBit. They were providing secure email services. And it is very dangerous to provide secure technology anywhere in the United States. I mean, it's dangerous anywhere, but I mean, you have a chance of having secure technology outside the U.S. The U.S. is the worst, unfortunately. Well, I mean, maybe communist China is. But to me, it's not much different. They're all collecting all this stuff. But here in the U.S., if you run a business, they'll shut you down, period. And so there's this company, LavaBit. I forget the guy who ran it. Maybe I put it in this note here. He closed it down in 2013. We don't know that he got a national security letter, because he posted a cryptic message in 2013 basically saying that rather than become complicit in crimes against the American people, he would rather shut down his entire company. So he closed his company. And that implies to us that he probably got a national security level letter to turn over all the information to try to, you know, catch one dude, maybe. Who knows what they were doing? Maybe they just wanted to find out who's using a secure email company so that they could put him on some kind of a watch list. Because if you've got nothing to hide, they say, you've got nothing to fear. So anyone who wants to use this type of stuff is got to be bad. And in fact, we've seen this on cryptocurrency as well. If you want to use a private crypto like Monero or something like that, or if you use a Tumblr service, for those without getting into it, if you use any type of privacy thing for an electronic currency or a transfer of crypto, then you are probably someone who wants to break the law. That's their assumption. So when you get one of these national security letters to turn over information of all your customers, you're gagged. You're not even allowed to talk about it. You're not allowed to say you got it. You're not allowed to say what's going on, anything, or you're going to go to jail. So Section 505 is permanent. Section 802, this one is crazy. If you could just use a little imagination to understand how someone might use this if they're not already using it. It defines domestic terrorism to include any act that is, quote, dangerous to human life, involves a violation of any state or federal law, as intended and is intended to influence government policy or coerce a civilian population. Think of maybe exercising your right to keep and bear arms when some government tells you you're not supposed to. That could be called domestic terrorism. And someone is going to use this in crazy ways at some point in the future. I don't know how. But I think it is so broad to have it like that, that we should not ignore this at all. And then I see in the chat, I was just kind of scrolling through briefly, Bob Brewer says, how is this not kin to a writ of assistance? It absolutely is. And if you look back, and I talked about this a little bit briefly last week, this is very similar to these writs that the British used against the American colonists that James Otis argued against so forcefully. John Adams called his arguments against the writs as the spark of the American Revolution. So this is one of the reasons why the people seceded from England and formed their own country. So these are some of the sections, and you can look at this link. I'll post it in the show notes to find all of the permanent sections of the Patriot Act that they're not even discussing. So the CDR, the Call Detail Records Program, is seriously bad. The Business Records Program is seriously bad. But some of these other things are also extremely dangerous, if not worse. So then I was looking at this, and I forgot about this. So it was a reminder from Thomas Massie, this tweet. He was, you know, complaining about how everyone's distracted by impeachment. And then he said, well, look at this. You know, they just snuck this in. Page 25 of a 26-page bill, they snuck in this couple of lines on extending the sunsets. And everyone's focusing on USA Patriot Act. And he highlighted those sections. We can all see USA Patriot Act. We all know that. December 15th, inserting March 15th, 2020. But they also had a sunset on something else. Section 6001B1 of the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act of 2004. This was talked about quite a bit for a few years back then, at least in my early days of running this organization, which I registered the domain in mid-2006. So this was still kind of a talking point. The IRTPA, whatever they called it. Not an easy one like Patriot, USA Patriot. But that was also extended. And this one particular section was primarily, it's the lone wolf section, if you've ever heard of this. It basically allows the government to get a warrant from the secret FISA court. And I don't see anything in the Constitution that allows them to have any kind of secret courts, but we'll leave that for another episode. But they can get a warrant from a secret FISA court to electronically monitor a person. And then the government doesn't even need to show that the suspect is an agent of a foreign power or even directly linked to terrorism. So I don't think that one's used nearly as much, but looking at that is the reminder that, oh yeah, the Patriot Act wasn't the end of all this surveillance stuff. And there were a lot of other things included in this so-called Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act of 2004. It's 50 U.S.C. 1801. I don't know why I didn't put a link to the actual legislation here in my notes here. But I do have some notes on some of the primary things that expansion of the Patriot Act authorized just a few years later. So the Patriot Act said you have to do this, and then there were some executive orders from the Bush administration. Then you had the Homeland Security Act of 2002, which created the DHS. I believe it also created TSA, but I'm not 100% sure at that point. And then in 2004, another follow-up piece of legislation that amended parts of Patriot Act and expanded on it. And these are some of the things that we got out of it. We got the Director of National Intelligence, who was brand new there. Information sharing environment. If you've heard me talk about local surveillance, I'll cover this in a moment again. ISE is huge. We got fusion centers. Fusion centers is also information sharing between federal, state, and local. They were actually created in the Homeland Security Act of 2002, but the funding and the expansion of them came from this Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act of 2004. So that's fusion centers and information sharing environment, ISE. It expanded the TSA screening process. So when you went from just general airport screening to the insanely unconstitutional version of what we see today, that came out of this 2004 bill. We also got the Real ID Act. They were required under the 2004 law to create something that nationalized driver's licenses, even though that also is not delegated to the federal government in the Constitution. And it required DHS to implement biometrics at airports, like facial recognition, which is finally starting to happen today. So it's not like they're just coming up with this in the last few years. It wasn't just Trump or Obama or whoever or Bush. I think a lot of this stuff was written well in advance. And then we also got the National Counterterrorism Center, NCTC. It is a massive database of basically everything and passing that information along to everybody else. And I should have linked this one as well, but a month or two ago, I did an episode talking about how NSA surveillance is as bad as we thought it was, because some of the arguments against our arguments is like, okay, yeah, maybe you don't like it, but they're collecting so much information, it's not usable. And the NSA isn't targeting anybody specifically, like, you know, day-to-day life. But now we know that the information is being shared with the FBI. The FBI is trolling through it and using it in day-to-day criminal investigations. Of course, it's all information collected without a warrant, and so therefore it violates the Constitution. So they're definitely getting very granular with the profiles that they're creating through the data collection under Section 215 and many of these other programs. So let's talk about ISE, Information Sharing Environment, and Fusion Centers. You remember, and I've mentioned this a number of times. This episode, and I should pull this up on the screen, this episode I did last year, November 16, 2018, $2.5 billion. Surveillance state goes wild. And in this episode, I was talking about how a data release from EFF and Muckrock, they did public records requests from about 200 law enforcement agencies around the country, 200. And they found that over a two-year period, 2.5 billion license plate scans were done. This was 2016 and 2017. They were scanning 2.5 billion. You see these on red light cameras. They're called automated license plate readers. They're putting them in fast track areas. We know they're including them in drones. They're putting them on tops of police vehicles. They can put them on a tripod at the entrance to a parking lot, whatever. So basically, they can create this profile, snapping pictures accurately, hundreds and hundreds per minute. And they know where everyone's going. They also have facial recognition in some of them to know who's the passenger in the vehicle as well. So 2.5 billion of them were scanned in 2016 and 2017. And the statistics showed that 99.5% of the license plates scanned were not under suspicion. So they're not really trying to, this is not, if you're trying to be effective at stopping some criminal action or some bad guy, this is not a very effective way. So although they claim it's for our security, we know that when they say it's for your safety, it's really so they can control you and violate your rights. So 2.5 billion. But what happens as soon as a license plate is scanned through one of these readers? It goes into a national system through ISC, information sharing environment, or through fusion centers, or through both. Fusion centers, there's about 70 of these around the country, which is a combination of state, local, and federal agencies, law enforcement, and they're just basically sharing information. This came out from Patriot Act and then the 2004 follow-up and the 2002 Department of Homeland Security Act, if we're talking fusion centers as well. So if you get a scan of your license plate in Roanoke, Virginia. Then the law enforcement agencies in Portland, Oregon. Know where you are, where you've been, because it's all being created into this massive network, this massive database, and these massive profiles of who's doing what and where they're going. Now, this is just one example. Basically, every surveillance tool is being used this way, and it's becoming where local governments are now part of the national surveillance state. So whether it's an automated license plate reader, or it's one of these Stingray devices which spoofs a cell phone tower and collects data and location information on every person within range of a cell phone tower seamlessly without anyone knowing. Or if it's a drone, or if it's a red light camera, all that information is now, because of Patriot Act, and then I always forget the name of it, the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act of 2004, the follow-up legislation, the primary follow-up legislation, all of this local granular surveillance now becomes a national surveillance tool. So your local police, no matter how big or small of a town you live in, is likely just part of the FBI. That's how I see it. They're really just acting as part of the FBI or part of the NSA, one of these horrible agencies. Then, of course, the Real ID Act. I encourage you to read this article. I'm not really going to go through it, but this is something we published by Joe Wolverton from The New American. It was originally published over there a few weeks ago. Real ID, inescapable extension of the federal surveillance state. This is a national ID card that's not been delegated to the federal government, and they're going to be tying all kinds of stuff. There's already been some talk about tying, for example, gun ownership, and I know compliance with certain federal laws to your driver's license. So maybe you won't be able to do stuff unless you have been shown to be compliant when they swipe your card. That, I think, is a scary potential. But if I'm thinking of it, I would think some power-hungry monster is going to think of that as well, because I'm not that smart. So, and then, of course, there's the facial recognition. I've covered facial recognition over and over and over on this. But if we're talking about the legislation from 2001, Patriot Act, its follow-up, and then they're requiring biometrics at airports. And because of that, now today, we're starting to finally see this. I was covering this sometime late last year. I know it was happening even before then. We've had some articles, I'll cover one here in just a moment, on how the FBI is building a massive national facial recognition database, and they're getting very, very good at it. So here, from feds ramp up facial recognition as a convenience at airports, and this was from an episode back in March of this year. And we're talking about how U.S. Customs and Border Protection is scrambling to implement a biometric entry exit system with the goal of using facial recognition technology on travelers aboard 16,300 flights per week, or more than 100 million passengers traveling on international flights out of the U.S. And for those of you who are okay with doing this on border entry, this is just the beginning. They are planning on having facial recognition. You can read in their own documents. There's another episode that I don't think I covered in this particular episode. Oh, I did. The TSA roadmap is linked in that episode, so I must have covered it in that one as well. The TSA roadmap is not just for border entry or for international travelers. This is just how they're, what they do is they find the place where there's going to be the least amount of opposition. Then they implement it, then they get really good at it, and then we know the TSA has told us in their own roadmap that they want persistent facial recognition everywhere in every airport for all domestic travelers as well. We know that Amazon, through their recognition program, Microsoft as well, is working to push facial recognition on all kinds of law enforcement agencies. We know law enforcement agencies, 400 or 500 of them have already partnered with this. They're getting the facial recognition information. It's being collected. That means it goes through information sharing environment, through fusion centers, and all this information becomes part of the national facial recognition database, the national surveillance state. So this all, again, comes out of the Patriot Act. Thank you to those of them who really aren't... I mean, these people are really, really evil in the fact that they think that not only are they going to sneak in another extension, but they're not even going to talk about all this other stuff that we're facing today either. And here's an article that Mike Meharry wrote. I think this was in late 2017. Okay, so we're covering this about 2 years ago, maybe a little earlier. And he talks about how in 2014, the FBI rolled out a nationwide facial recognition program. According to information obtained by Georgetown Law in 2016, the next-gen ID Interstate Photo System, NGI-IPS, already contains some 25 million state and federal criminal photos, mostly mugshots shared by state and local law enforcement agencies. Photos remain in the system even if a court never convicts the individual of a crime. It remains unclear what other types of photos end up in NGI-IPS, but it seems almost certain TSA pre-check photos will end up in that database. And this wasn't even touching. We weren't even on top of the fact that not only were they going to put all these facial recognition photos in a database, but that the TSA was going to use your face as your boarding pass. And if they're doing that as a convenience, you know they're using it for nefarious purposes as well. And Mike, later in the article, he says, the federal government is in the process of creating an integrated biometric database that will ultimately have the capability to track people virtually anywhere they go. State and local law enforcement agencies also feed into this system. And again, fusion centers, information sharing environment, Real ID Act, expanded TSA screening, biometrics at airports, roving wiretaps. These are all things that were directly from the Patriot Act or in its follow-up legislation that's tied to it that's not even being touched in this conversation about a sunset of the Call Detail Records program and the Business Records program, which are also incredibly, incredibly bad. And as far as NCTC, this one might be the most insane of them all. And there's an article from Chris Calabrese, which is probably how he probably says Calabrese, but Calabrese, my grandmother on my father's side was her family was from Calabrese, which is southern Italy by the boot. And it's called the biggest new spying program you've probably never heard of. And this is the NCTC and how they share all that data. I'll put that link in the show notes and hopefully you guys can take a few minutes and read it and learn a little bit more. Looking over in the live chat, just taking a look here, a lot of interesting back and forth. I see that Essential Freedom says that Missouri still hasn't complied with the Real ID Act. I think Montana is another one. Unfortunately, states like Idaho and Utah, their Republican governors at one point when Obama was in office, signed legislation to say that the Real ID Act was a violation of the 10th Amendment and inimical, this word, inimical to the liberty of the people of this state. And then that same governor, a few years later, once the administration, the names changed next to the administration in charge, or the letters, the party changed, then they sign a bill implementing it. So these partisan hacks cannot be trusted at any level. It's good to hear that Missouri isn't. I just got my driver's license renewal here in California, and California is halfway positive on this. When you get your renewal notice, it tells you, you better get this, because if you don't have it, you will not be able to go to a federal building or get on a plane. I don't want to go to a federal building. I have no interest in being in one. And if they tell me I have to be there and I just don't have the right documents, then that's their problem. So I'm glad to not go to any government buildings, especially federal ones. But at least here in California, we have the option. They say, well, if you want to get the one that will give you all this convenience, make it easier to travel, we'll see what happens next year. Because they've told us every single year you won't be able to board a plane starting in 2008, every single year. And 11 straight years, they've backed down and said, well, next year we'll do it. So we'll see. They seem to really be getting more serious about it finally. So maybe they'll implement it in October of 2020. But I would rather wait and see how it plays out before I decide to succumb to that. I'm hoping to not have to. I'm hoping to avoid that as much as possible. So I have a new driver's license. I'm not going to show you guys, dox myself. But it basically says not valid for federal purposes. And I'm happy to have that. And maybe if I have to adjust my lifestyle in the future and not travel in and out of this country of California, then so be it. But we'll see how that plays out. EHP Training says, I will not get the star ID either. Do you guys in Alabama, do they give you an option to opt out? Or how does that go there? I'm curious. And Stanley Biggs over on Facebook, this is a good one. Patriots, because by the very nature of the act, if you are against it, then you are anti-patriotic. Yeah, and that's part of the propaganda of the language. Take Affordable Care Act, for example. All the language that they do. So in Alabama, you can also opt out. I encourage people... I mean, you're not going to have any inconvenience today if you don't get a national ID card, a real ID federally compliant card. they are not going to, at least at this point, they are not going to start implementing till October 1st, 2020. And in the worst case scenario, if you decide that for you it's right to get that in October of 2020, you can go ahead and go do that. Go down there with all kinds of documents, your birth certificate, things like that, down to the DMV and get your ID card. I also have a passport that expires in like 24. So the worst case scenario for me is I'm going to hold out till at least 2024 and see what I can do to figure this out between now and then. So I'm not going to get this new card, period. When EHB training says, I don't answer the census either. I've never gotten one. So that's good to know. Missouri has an option for it. Steven in Oklahoma says they have it too. We've put it off for a long time, but they wouldn't let us have an extension to refuse it. I wonder if it down in Oklahoma, they actually do have an option like we do here in California and in Missouri and in Alabama to actually choose the non-federally compliant. I would urge you personally to get just the state-based one. I mean, let's follow the Constitution in our own actions as much as possible. And Steven also asks on Facebook, what is stopping us from appealing the Patriot Act? Well, you and I can't repeal it. So to repeal a federal act really is going to take an action of the federal government. And those people in Washington, D.C. are terrible. Just taking, and I'm not trying to pick on one party over the other. Again, they're both terrible, especially on surveillance powers. But if you've got the so-called resistance in Democrats in the House in Washington, D.C., claiming the current president is the most dangerous president in history, possibly the most dangerous person on earth, and then they say, well, we'll just extend this mass surveillance power, even though we promised to never vote for anything. You can't rely on Washington, D.C. to ever get rid of the Patriot Act, even just the sections that are due to sunset. We're not even talking about all this other stuff that they keep pushing on and on and on. Bob Brewer says this sounds like China. Absolutely. And I think if you want to see what we are headed for, that is probably a good analogy. The way that protesters have to go around wearing gas masks and covering their face, tearing down facial recognition cameras. Man, if that is not a picture of our future here, I'm not sure. Tyler B., I really hate our Orwellian reality. Absolutely. Bob Brewer, EFF link for the sections. I will put all of these in the show notes. EFF, ACLU, 10th Amendment Center, and a few of the other ones. The tweet from Thomas Massey. And Mark asks, how's the constitutionality of this not been tested by the Supremes? Well, first of all, it would take a challenge. And second of all, the Supreme Court is really bad on this. The new so-called constitutionalist, Brett Kavanaugh, is 100% in favor of the Patriot Act. I've been told by people that he was involved in the drafting of it. I have not seen a verification of that. But in his testimony, he made it very clear that mass warrantless data collection is entirely consistent with the Fourth Amendment because he does not consider it a search. We talked about this a little bit at that time. I know I covered it a bit on the show during his nomination hearings or confirmation hearings. He is really bad on that part of the Constitution, even if he might be okay on a few other things. But these people getting appointed are not good at all. Anyways, I am going on and on. I'm very grateful for you spending so much of your time with me today. I hope you found this interesting. I hope it was enjoyable to watch. More importantly, I hope you learned something. Again, I am not going to have shows unless I randomly get through this mountain of work I got to do this week. I'm not going to have shows Wednesday or Friday, but I will be back next week, Monday, to kick off December 2nd. I hope you have a wonderful week. I hope you have an amazing Thanksgiving, whoever you're spending your time with. I'm very thankful for you being here. I'm thankful for all the support. If you want to smash the like button, get bell notifications, leave reviews, or go to 10thamendmentcenter.com/members, all that stuff is very much appreciated. I'm very grateful. And even if you're just kind of watching in the background or listening in the background silently, it's all amazing. I am incredibly grateful for you being here with me. I hope you have an awesome Thanksgiving, and I hope you have a great day today. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time here on The Path to Liberty. If I can click out. There we go.